3:04. It's 7:45, and time for our Saturday night theatre. Trevor Peacock plays Beau Brummel in Brummel Abroad by Bernard DaCosta, translated and adapted for radio by David Buck.
Come in. No noise, I beg of you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there he lies. I'll not draw back the curtains for fear of waking him. Likes his little after-breakfast snooze, does the master? He doesn't like to go out till the morning is well aired. Please, feel free to ask questions.
Is he in good health?
Fit as a fiddle, the Lord be praised. A part that is from a touch of the runs now and again.
That's a place. Does he bathe regularly?
Bless you, no, madam. He's put all that behind him.
He's very shabby.
His wardrobe's not what it was, I admit. One dress coat, one pair of breeches.
You're quite shabby yourself, my man. Does your master keep you short of money?
My master, sir, is the most open-handed of gentlemen. When he first came here to Khan, I remember his saying to me, Justin, I want the best here. The best food, the best wine, the best lodgings to be had. No man is truly generous who stints himself. I've always said this, that if Mr. Brummel did not exist, it would be necessary to invent him. He is unique.
How does he cope with his present penury?
Simply as any other experience to be savoured. If possible, enjoy.
I know his name, of course.
Well, indeed, yes, he was a famous man. But
what exactly was he, this Brummel?
That's easily answered. But first, we agreed, did we not? A small contribution?
Oh, yes.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, madam. Most grateful, sir. Thank you, sir. Most kind. Gentlemen, I give you Mr. George Brummel. Boo Brummel. For 20 years, the toast of all London. The cynosure of all eyes. The arbiter of fashion. Close friend of the Prince of Wales himself. Sobriety is elegance. That was his watchword. He was the first man ever to starch his cravat. It's true. Before Brummel, a man's cravat was a listless thing, flopping at the throat like a wet lettuce. My master turned it into a thing of beauty and delicacy. Mr. Brummel, in an average week, would get through 20 shirts, 2 dozen pocket handkerchiefs, 10 pairs of breeches, and 12 waistcoats. Also cravats and stockings without number. He was a perfectionist. In his search for the perfect pair of gloves, he employed the services of no less than 3 glove makers. One for the thumbs, one for the fingers, and one for the cuffs. He also employed 3 hairdressers on the same principle. One for the temples, one for the fringe, and one for the nape. He fell like Lucifer. One day at a grand ball, he inquired of a companion at the top of his voice, Who's your fat friend? alas, the man in question was a prince. The Prince Regent, the Prince of Wales, the future King of England. Rest his soul. Brummel and he had fallen out years before. The prince was indeed fat, but he did not like it to be remarked upon in public. My master found himself in exile. Farewell, O world of perfect cravat. Farewell, O rich and powerful friends. He did France the honour of moving here, and now gilds us with his presence as British consul in Khan. The position is not remunerative, but my master works incessantly to forge strong bonds between our 2 nations, bonds of trade and bonds of friendship. He is deeply appreciative of the cultural life of the town, its culinary and architectural delights. You know, I am often asked if Mr. Brummel has changed since his heyday. I answer, no. He has merely surrendered with his customary elegance, his riches, and his youth. Please, feel free to approach him and take a closer look. Do not touch Mr. Brummel. Hasten to be touched, except by myself. I will tell my master when he wakes of your visit, and pass on any appreciative comments you may care to make. I must ask you now to withdraw, if you please. Thank you. Thank you for your kind attention. Gratuities are not discouraged. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Most kind. Your very good health, sir. You'll find your own way out.
Yes, thank you very much.
Whew. Have they gone?
Yes, sir.
Justin, it won't do. It won't do at all.
But, sir...
I felt as if I were lying in state.
Well, I did my best,
sir. Damn it, I'm not some ancient monument, some Pompeian ruin to be gawped at and poked about by the petty bourgeoisie. I half expected them to scratch their names on me.
They pity you, sir.
I reject their pity.
And they paid well.
I reject... No, on second thoughts, I am prepared to accept coin of the realm. Give it to me. And keep this one for yourself.
But, sir...
Oh, I insist. Now, enough of such sordid matters. The town of Caen awaits me with open arms.
Your creditors too, sir.
Where?
On the back stairs.
How many?
Now, let me see. Washerwoman, lawyer, tailor, bootmaker, a brace of restaurateurs...
Oh, cheek of these tradespeople. In England, they learn to be patient.
The French take a more realistic view.
Is it realistic to rob a naked corpse? Oh, Justin, I hate this place. I hate its dreary little streets, its boring little inhabitants, its seedy little cafes. I hate the tedious little life I am forced to lead. What's on the agenda for today?
The usual, sir.
Which is?
Nothing much.
What do you mean, nothing much?
Eat, nap, walk, rest. Walk, nap, eat,
no
rest.
Invitations to dine?
Not today. But on Thursday, there is a reception at the prefecture in honour of the King of France.
Which king is that? The last one only reigned a day.
4 hours, to be precise, sir. But they give this one a week at least.
Then we must hasten to pay our respects, or he might miss them altogether. Anything else?
There is, of course, an English lesson with your landlady's bonny daughter this morning, if she turns up.
Oh, she'll turn up. Then maybe she, my ravissante.
Her name, sir, is A Marble.
It doesn't go far enough.
She's never been early before.
Nor, alas, so insistent.
I'd better see who it is, then.
If it's a beggar, send him packing. But why look on the black side? It may be an invitation to dinner. I haven't dined out for weeks. Well, who is it?
An Englishwoman. Wants to see the British consul. Says her son-in-law's taking away all her furniture.
Why come to me about it?
Well, it is your job, sir.
Tell her to come back tomorrow.
Tomorrow it'll all be gone, she says.
Get rid of her. I've problems enough of my own. Anyone else?
Yes, a young man.
Send him away too. I hate young men.
He looks quite well-heeled, sir.
Oh, that's different. Send him in. I like well-heeled young men, especially if they invite me to dinner.
Comte Henri du Chazeau to see you, sir.
My dear Count, come in, come in. What a pleasure, what an honour indeed. Please excuse the pickle I'm in. It's so hard to get proper servants nowadays. That will be all, Justin.
Thank you, sir. I hope I'm not putting you out.
Oh, not at all, not at all. How may I be of service to you?
Well, don't you remember me? I had the honour to be presented to you a few days ago. At Madame Duvier's.
Ah, there was Dan d'Omeron. Inedible, I told her so.
You were the only one who dared. That's why I've come to see you, sir.
On account of the marrow?
I sense in you a kindred spirit, sir. I am sick of the dishonesty, the clumsiness, the pettiness of this town. I thought perhaps that you and I...
Yes?
But no. I see now it is impossible. My youth will seem too great a burden to you.
I'm sure I have endured worse.
What I mean is, I would like to become your...
My what, for God's sake?
Your disciple, sir. To join with you in rejecting the values of this place.
I see. Well, I have to say...
And to invite you to lunch.
That I could do with some lunch.
I would like to introduce you to my friends, such as may truly appreciate the great honour you bestow upon us by the beneficial influence of your presence here.
You are very kind, Count.
Now, where shall we go for lunch? Do you know the Literary Club in Caen?
I do indeed, a most interesting place. The only literary club in my experience which boasts not a single book. and where the rules forbid conversation.
Not the literary club, then. Would you prefer somewhere frequented by your compatriots?
I hate the English, Count.
Where else can I suggest? Oh, I know a little place that serves an excellent ballotine de faisan.
Oh, ballotine de faisan? No, I don't...
I shall expect you to be my guest, monsieur.
Then again, why not? Justin, I am going out.
And I beg you to be my tutor.
In what subject, Count?
For elegance, sir. Look at me. I'm desperate. My tailor treats me as a joke, and as for my bootmaker, well...
Yes, he has certainly not done all he might for you.
The jacket. What about the jacket?
There's only one thing to be said.
What's that?
Throw it out.
Oh, throw it out? Oh, how gloriously simple. Why didn't I think of that? Oh, you are truly a genius, sir.
Justin, I like this young fellow.
I'm pleased, sir.
Are you a religious man, Count?
Well,
religion and elegance have one thing in common, you see.
Religion and elegance, yes.
Both require a belief in the invisible.
In the invisible, yes, yes.
You must allow that belief to possess you wholly. You must abandon yourself to it.
Oh, yes.
There are some will say to you, be natural. These are your tempters. Avoid them.
Oh, I will.
There is nothing natural about elegance. It is an artifice, a composition like a Bach cantata. Do you understand?
Bach cantata.
Yes. So much for theory. Now for practice. I shall teach you to tie a cravat. This knowledge is a pearl beyond price.
Beyond price?
That thing around your neck.
My necklace?
Take it off.
Take it.
Oh. Don't write everything down, you foolish... Count, simply watch. Watch me and learn. You have a fresh cravat there, Justin?
Of course, sir.
To begin with, I crane the neck to its furthest extent. Now I wind the cloth round. Thus, knot it, so, and fold the collar down. The important part, I lower my chin by degrees, and see, the cravat falls into a pattern of beautiful... No! Anything less than perfect must be discarded. In the old days, 30-40 attempts were not unusual. My failures littered the floor. Justin, another cravat.
Oh, yes, sir.
Now watch. Envelop. Enclose. Glorify, caress. A true act of love, of idolatry. There. That's better. The cravat is spread and ready for appraisal. Is it harmonious? It is. Is it symmetrical? Of course. Is it also simple? Ah, that's the question.
It is the work of a genius.
No, simply of a perfectionist. The Prince of Wales loved to watch me tie my cravat. It was better than going to a play, he said. He had a ready wit in his youth. Oh, poor Prinny. Well, do you want to introduce me to this ballotine de faisan?
Gladly, Monsieur Bramon.
Sir?
What is it, Justin?
May I remind you that Mademoiselle du Saint Hussein is due any moment?
Damn it! How could I have forgotten? Forgive me, Count. Our lunch must be postponed.
Nothing wrong, I hope.
Wrong? Look at this mess here, and I haven't begun to see to my coiffure.
I'm sorry, I didn't choose a more convenient
time. Look at this cravat! What an unholy mess!
You're very glum today, Mr. Brummel.
Oh, no, not at all.
Don't you want me here? Shall I go away?
Of course I want you here. I'm grateful to you for...
For what?
For being so passionate about your studies. I'm sure that's why you risk the censure of your friends to consort with such a sad old stick as I.
Oh, come, Mr. Brummel, don't play the martyr with me.
What's this? Shakespeare? Oh, no, Ravissant, I won't have you speaking kindly of that charlatan.
Shakespeare? A charlatan?
Romeo and Juliet. What rubbish!
But it's a beautiful story.
You find it so? What's beautiful about it? Juliet dies. Romeo dies. I see no beauty in a slaughterhouse. Poor Juliet. Don't you think it would have been better for her if her Romeo had been a little older? 50, for example, instead of 17? If he were, then Juliet would still be alive and happy. A wise, mature Romeo would never have let her kill herself so foolishly.
Is this my English lesson for today?
No, no. We've moved on to another subject, Ravissante.
And that is?
Love, my love.
I don't know how you think of these things. An old Romeo, indeed.
If you saw me in the street now, a stranger, how old would you say I was? Well?
Do I have to answer, Mr. Brummel?
Yes. Yes, my happiness and peace of mind depend upon it.
40, perhaps?
As old as that. Surely not.
Why, how old are you?
Nature, you jade, you always take more than you give.
Have I said the wrong thing? Oh, dear, I've offended you. Does this mean the end of my English lessons?
English? I don't know why you want to learn that beastly language. What on earth's the use of English in Caen? But love is another matter. It is a universal tongue. Think how useful it will be to you and how pleasant to learn.
When do you think I should begin?
Oh, you have begun already. How lucky you are. Life does not really begin until the moment you feel a lover's touch. His hand upon your...
Oh, Mr. Brummel!
Oh, what time we all waste in refusing to acknowledge this essential force within us, this strong current of desire. Oh, my sweet Ravissante. If we but dared, you and I, we could leave all this sordid small-town provincialism behind us. We could travel the world. But first, France. Together, my sweet Ravissante, we shall explore it all. By day, we shall visit museums and galleries, then with our minds sated with history, we shall seek out mountains to climb. Vistas of this beautiful, fertile land shall be opened up before us. Then, with eyes well satisfied and our bodies in a state of delicious languor, we shall take up weapons of silver and ivory and make a slow and delicious descent of the most famous menus in the world. And after that, my divine Ravissante, cheered by warm draughts of the finest wines, we shall repair to... Where are you? Where has she gone? Ravissante!
She upped and went, sir.
Without hearing me through, without letting me finish.
You talk too much, if I may say so, sir.
Words, my dear Justin, are the only things I have to spend these days.
Which reminds me, sir, Mr. Armstrong is here.
Armstrong? Ah... Bring him in.
Your boots, sir.
At least he won't ask me how to be elegant. He hasn't got the build for it.
Mr. Brummel?
Armstrong?
At your service, sir.
I was advised to consult you. You are very clever with money, I'm told.
I shall do all I can to assist you.
Besides, it's much easier to deal with a compatriot. You know of my difficulties.
Yes, sir.
You seem very young to be so rich. What do you do exactly?
I have fingers in many pies, sir. I have a store here in Caen. I trade in spices. I buy and sell tea and I ship wine. I also dabble in dividends, foreign exchange, debt collection and the like. I sometimes work on commission for the Bank of England. And I act as agent in the purchase and sale of property, castles and so forth.
Are you castles, eh?
They're my speciality.
I see. You are aware of the sum total of my income?
80,000 francs a year.
And you probably know, too, that 60,000 of that is absorbed by debts and back payments.
Leaving you 20,000.
Bravo. I can see you are a financier.
And how much do you spend?
Oh, it varies.
At a conservative estimate?
130,000.
That's more than six times your income.
If you say so.
Then I take my hat off to you, sir. You seem to have devised a means of conjuring money out of thin air.
But it's an illusion. And I can't keep it up any longer. My creditors won't leave me alone. Tell me, what's your income, Armstrong?
In the region of 400,000, 500,000.
And your outgoings?
In the region of 12,000.
You must deal with a different class of tradesmen. All the same, I mean, look at this place. No one can say I live in the lap of luxury. It's little better than a hovel, but I've had enough of it. For too long now, I've had my credibility and my bounty abused. My friends have deserted me. Even my enemies will have nothing to do with me. I must act, and act now.
What action do you intend?
Well, what I'd like first is a dress coat in velvet puce, with gathered sleeves, so... Can you help me buy one?
Well, I don't see why not.
Oh, thank you! Thank you! You must be the only person in this town who is prepared to cater to my deepest needs, and a compatriot, too. Oh, how I love the English. Thank you, sir, for being a friend in need. I'm also a little pressed for ready money. Perhaps you can lend me 300 francs?
Not so fast, Mr. Brummel. What do I stand to gain from all this?
Yes, I quite see there must be something. You must not be expected to do it for simple charity, no. Let me think. Of course, there is always the consulship.
The consulship?
Of course, the consulship. I'll hand it over to you.
But it's not in your gift.
No. It's not strictly, no. I suppose I shall have to be nominal consul still. Shake hands, kiss dowagers, be the icing on the cake, so to speak. But all the power of the office I will concede to you.
Power?
Think how useful it will be to you. There are fortunes to be made, my friend. Now, first I shall put you on my staff in some minor capacity, and then to an ambitious young man like yourself. The sky's the limit.
But, Mr. Brummel...
I knew you would agree. Marvellous! Now, what about those 300 francs?
I haven't got it on me at the moment.
How much have you got?
Not much more than 100.
That'll do. For now, congratulations, young man. You have taken the first short step upon the path to assured success. Farewell for now.
You are very kind, sir.
One day we must talk more about this, get it all down on paper. I haven't time at the moment, forgive me. Will you see yourself out? Justin, I'm saved. I can buy my plum-coloured jacket. I can make a fresh start. Oh, isn't that wonderful news?
I hope so, sir. I do indeed. Now, I hope you haven't forgotten the reception at the prefecture.
In honour of the King of France, I remember.
You're expected, you know.
I shan't go. Life's too short. You go instead.
But, sir, it's not my place.
Wear my clothes. Appearances are everything, Justin. Nothing else matters.
What's this? Can I believe my ears?
Mrs. Daly.
Aren't you a little old, madam, to be listening at a keyhole?
I didn't listen. I overheard. Oh, George, George, do you really intend to insult the King of France by sending a servant in your place? It's a disgrace.
Haven't I told you not to bother me here? Haven't I told you not to bother me anywhere?
Oh, now then, George, you little rascal. You know I only have your interests at heart.
Let me go.
Oh, you want to play hide-and-seek? Oh, very well. Why do you run away from me?
Leave me alone.
Never. Oh, George, I've told you 100 times how I feel about you. I love you. Yes, into yes, distractions. I cannot live without you. I cannot breathe without you. Without you, there can be no happiness for me. Tell me the truth now. Why do you refuse to see me?
Because I cannot stand ugly things.
Oh. Cheeky boy, you can't frighten me away with your insults. Now, why won't you come and take tea with me?
Take tea? Take tea? One does not take tea. One takes a cab, medicine, a rest, a walk. One's time, one takes liberties, umbrage even, but never tea.
No.
You drink tea. You ignorant old hag, has no one ever taught you the elementary rules of grammar?
That's pedantry.
That's correctness.
Who do you think you are?
I am what I am, madam.
And what is that, may I ask? If I am forced to be so exact, so precise, what are you? Why, you're nothing more than a sponger. A penniless down and out.
Get out of my house.
Your house? You have no house.
Get out. Get out!
You should treat me better than this, Mr. Brummel. Who else would have you in this town? Who else would have you anywhere?
That's true. It's true.
Oh, there, there. Look at me, George. I've thrown away all feminine reserve, all dignity. And why? Because I love you. Love you to madness. From the first moment I saw you, I was lost.
You should have had more sense.
I admit it. But it was the most wonderful moment of my life. Nearly 30 years ago at the Argyle Rooms, there was a fancy dress ball. No one asked me to dance. I hid behind a pillar. I was miserable. And then I saw you. Oh, you seemed to me so...
So what?
So beautiful, so pure, so noble.
Is that really what you thought?
So regal, too. You quite eclipsed the prince.
That's true, of course. But it was the prince who became king, not I.
And I heard you say those words. Alvanley, who's your fat friend?
I'd have done better to keep quiet.
Such folly! I adored you at once.
I am still foolish.
And I still adore you. Your folly and my love grow old together.
Grow old? Me? What calumny is this?
You see what a fool you are. Now, shall we dine together? What do you say?
I am already engaged.
Do you know Lutzumer? We could go there.
Too far.
It's only 10 miles.
As I said, too far.
Don't you like to look at the sea?
I like to look at nothing but myself.
Oh, you're a difficult man, George. Can nothing move you?
No.
Not even love.
Love is for domestics.
My mother was a domestic.
That does not surprise me.
So was your grandfather.
He at least knew his place.
How dare you insult my mother?
Forgive me, it was you I intended to insult.
Rommel, I warn you, I make a bad enemy.
Madam, I'm sure you are bad at anything you turn your mind to.
You can jest, but I swear I'll be revenged on you.
What harm can you possibly do me?
I can begin by thwarting your pathetic little plans concerning that jumped-up St. Ursin girl. There's folly indeed. You look like her great-grandfather.
Even an artificial rose must fade. You know that better than anyone.
Oh! Mr. Brummel, I shall go.
So soon?
But you've not seen the last of me.
That would be too much to ask. What an embarrassment that woman is. Why doesn't she pick on someone her own age? No, to be fair, most men of Mrs. Daly's age are already in their graves. Justin! How can I get in touch with that nice young Count Chazot? I'm free to accept his invitation to dine.
You've been using inferior blacking on my boots again, Justin.
It was the best I could get, sir.
Then mix it with champagne.
Very well, sir.
Now, who the devil can that be?
I think it's, Mr. Armstrong.
Armstrong! To what do I owe this pleasure?
Well, Mr. British Consul Lincoln, are you ready to make more purchases in the pretty little shops of the town?
I'm not in the mood to talk business, Armstrong. Come back another day.
Don't worry, this will not be a protracted visit. In fact, I have only 2 words to say to you.
2 words?
Thief! Cheat! Swindler!
That's 3.
You've been looking for a dupe, and you had the nerve to choose me.
My dear fellow, what am I supposed to have done?
You promised to set me up in an official post if I were to pay your debts.
You have your post. You are sub-consul, vice-consul, consul-elect.
Liar! Hypocrite! You never told me about the letter.
Letter? What letter?
The letter you wrote to the Foreign Office.
You read my letter?
No, but I just read the reply. It's part of my duties, remember?
Of course. Well, what's the matter?
Did you really recommend them to scrap the consulate here?
They asked me if I thought it served any useful purpose. Since only 2 people have consulted me since I took office, I had to tell them I didn't.
Well, they've acted on your advice.
What?
They've scrapped it.
But that's appalling news. That's not what I intended at all.
What exactly did you intend, Mr. Brummel? What did you hope to gain?
I thought...
No, let me guess. You planned to make your escape. To slip through all our fingers and disappear, leaving only your debts behind.
Please, let me alone.
Well, you don't escape from me so easily. I may be young, but I wasn't born yesterday.
Let me alone.
I'll break you, Mr. Brummel.
But first I'll give you the thrashing you deserve.
No, no, take your hands off me. I'm a sick man. Help! Help!
What's happening?
Help me, Ravissant!
Why are you hitting him? What's happening? Who is this man?
He's on my staff. Oh, my dear Ravissant, thank goodness you came when you did.
Yes, thank goodness.
Why did you come?
I felt so guilty about our last meeting. My running off like that.
Oh, Ravissant, the fault was mine.
Am I to understand that you are Mademoiselle de Saint-Ossin?
Yes. Why do you ask?
This man is your friend, is he not?
I teach her English, that is all.
I am his friend, yes.
He has not borrowed money from you?
No.
Or made you any sort of promise?
No.
Then you are fortunate. Now, if you will take my advice, I think perhaps you should go.
No, not until I know what all this is about.
The consulate here. He's had it scrapped.
Oh, no! You haven't, have you, Mr. Brumble?
It's of no importance to him that I and the 15 other people who work at the consulate, the clerical staff, the cleaners, the gardener, will all find ourselves out on the pavement.
Why, Mr. Brumble?
He hoped to be rewarded for his candour with a consulship in a better sort of place, where he could mix with a better class of person, richer, more influential. He wished to abandon us, abandon you.
I was going to ask you to marry me. Please don't believe these wicked lies.
Save your breath, Mr. Brummel. I think everything is clear enough.
It's not. Look, everything will work out, you'll see. I'm going to...
You can do nothing. It's over, Brummel. The head in the clouds, the nose in the air, the invitations, the credit, the diplomatic privilege, all gone. There's nothing left.
There's always my Ravissant.
She's seen through you, Brummel.
What then is left to me? Where shall I go?
As your financial advisor.
Yes.
And bearing in mind the fact that the jackals will soon be closing in.
Yes, yes.
I suggest you find a comfortable jail and beg them to take you in.
Jail?
Debtor's prison, man. Are you coming, mademoiselle?
Stay, Ravissante.
Call me by my proper name, if you please. Better still, don't speak to me at all.
I must speak to you alone. I can explain everything.
Oh, don't touch me.
You heard the Lady Brummel. She wants nothing more to do with you. Come, mademoiselle.
Have pity on me. I was going to teach you so much. To dress like the Duchess of Devonshire. To bear yourself like Lady Cavendish. To have the flair of the...
That's enough, Mr. Brummel. I'm tired of your ravings. And as for manners and bearing, I think my own must suffice without the assistance of your great ladies.
Ravissant, will you betray me?
There's no need, Mr. Brummel. You have already betrayed yourself. Is that what he's asking for now? Are you sure there's no mistake? 600,000 francs. I won't give him a sou.
Mr. Brummel has always been an idealist.
The cheek of the man.
I'll tell him what you say, Mrs. Daly.
Oh, no, wait. Tell me, how is he, Justin?
Oh, he's very well. His constant companion is a spider. This big.
Oh, why have you followed your master to this dreadful prison?
What else could I do? I'm, after all, still his valet de chambre.
Oh, you would be if he paid you.
He is the ideal master for me. It has always embarrassed me to talk about wages.
Oh, I'm sure Mr. Brummel saves your blushes on that score.
Never so much as mentions the subject, madam.
I wish his delicate reserve extended itself to matters of loans or gifts from his friends.
Mr. Brummel harbours no resentment towards those who refuse to lend him money, only towards those who promise and then doubt. But here he comes for his bath of milk.
A bath of milk? In prison?
It does present certain problems.
Hey, just... No, you can't have this milk. It's mine. I forbid you to touch it. No, you wretches. I'd sooner pour it down the drain than give it to you. Ah, the devil take you. Why shouldn't I bath in milk if I want to? It's the only thing that will wash off your mediocrity, your filth.
No,
help me, Justin. Take the milk, it will spill.
My friends, be reasonable. Gentlemen like Mr. Brummel have need of a bath now and then. Sir, these poor creatures haven't drunk a drop of milk for weeks.
Then they should scrounge for it as I do. Miserable wretches, thinking only of their bellies. Beauty means nothing to them.
Come, my good fellows, leave Mr. Brummel alone. Can't you see that you're annoying him? Be off with you now!
Milk would be wasted on such scum as you.
Ah, Mrs. Daly, you always say the right thing.
I think, Mr. Brummel.
Yeah.
Since you are in prison, you should think about changing your attitude.
Why should I? Simply because I have to sleep in a corridor and relieve myself in an open courtyard.
You are here to learn humility, Mr. Brummel.
I have never been too proud to ask for money, Mrs. Daly. I hope you brought some with you.
No, I haven't.
Why is it that people who are so willing to open their hearts are so reluctant to open their purses?
What are you doing, Mr. Brummel?
Preparing for my toilette, my dear lady. I hope you don't mind. Bring the bucket, Justin.
Yes, sir.
You should wait till I have gone.
By the time you are gone, the milk will have turned.
Well, it's not decent.
Think of it simply as preservation work on an ancient monument. Pour the milk, Justin. Oh, the toilette is a triumph of self, a gesture of superiority over others. Justin, my razors.
You are going to shave?
Of course I must. I tell you truly, it's not intelligence, genius, nor profundity, but day-to-day matters like this which lead a man to eternity. Appearance is everything.
At school, they tell you differently.
They tell you lies. They tell you man must work.
It's the truth.
For some, perhaps, but not for me. Why strive to put a peacock in a hen house?
It's that line of thought that landed you in jail.
In jail, perhaps, but bathing in milk. Oh, if only I could sleep better. Justin, my towel.
There you are, sir. You know, he says he sleeps badly, yet his neighbours complain that he snores all night.
At least I snore like a gentleman.
Oh, it hurts me to see you like this, Mr. Brummel, and in such ill company.
Yeah, don't touch me. And mind my coiffure. I forbid you to pity me. I can't stand pity, especially yours. Just in my towel.
Mr. Brummel, I have decided. I shall help you after all.
How can you help me if you won't give me money?
There are other ways.
In prison, as elsewhere, madam, only money counts.
I'll get you out of here, I promise.
Not without money.
I shall help you out of this prison, out of this country, away from this accursed town of Caen, where you eat too much, even in prison. And I shall go with you.
But what about your husband, your children?
Oh, to hell with them! I, too, wish to cultivate beauty. I, too, wish to throb with life. I'll charter a boat. We shall go to Jersey.
Jersey? What on earth would I do in Jersey?
Live life to the full.
In Jersey?
Yes. Yes. We shall get drunk on champagne. We shan't go to bed till dawn. We shall mix with the most cosmopolitan, the most depraved people. In Jersey, I shall become an adventuress, the happiest, most infamous woman in the world.
The woman's crazed.
He won't listen. He's never taken me seriously.
Well, to be honest, madam, your plan didn't sound very appealing.
Don't you think so?
No.
What would appeal to him? Tell me, Justin.
Well, if you were to give him 5 francs, at least he could have lunch tomorrow.
Food. Always food. Don't they feed you here gratis?
Madam, they do. What's for lunch today, Justin?
Pigeon stew.
You see.
You'd do well to reconsider coming with me.
Thank you, madam, but no.
Turning me down after I've braved public opinion to visit you?
In words of one syllable, madam, push off. Put these things away, Justin.
Very well. If that's your attitude, I shall abandon all the plans I've made for you. Did you really believe that I would have chartered a boat for us and gone to Jersey with you? Why, Jersey's even more boring than Caen.
Anywhere you inhabited would be boring, I'm sure.
Oh, I only said it to see how you would react.
Goodbye, Mrs. Daly.
Oh, you'll never set eyes on me again.
Now, there's a promise I hope she can keep.
You should have been a little more diplomatic, Master. She could have been of use to us.
Nonsense! The woman is a dreamer. I have dreams enough of my own. No, I'm pinning my faith in Armstrong. He will save me, I'm sure.
Justin! Oh, let him sleep. He's been darning all night.
You sent for me?
Mr. Armstrong! I'm sorry to bother you, sir. Sit down. I have devised a means of escape from this place.
By what means? A rope ladder?
Hard cash.
Go on, then. You better tell me your scheme.
Let a collection be made for my release.
You must be mad.
After all, I am Brummel. The name still means something.
Does it?
Why are you against me, Armstrong? Is it really so criminal to have always wished to live a life of luxury, a life spent in the contemplation of art and beauty?
To live such a life, you need money, or the ability to earn it by hard work.
Work, oh, work. You never speak of anything other than work. Oh, I know, it's only a dream, this desire for beauty, for elegance, for distinction. But I can't do anything else. Such dreams are my soul, the very air I breathe.
You're pathetic, Brummel. I'm off.
Make use of me.
How?
Make use of my influence. My various friendships, the warm memories that I have left behind in my native land.
It's my native land as well.
Oh, of course. Of course. Then haven't you ever wanted to know the people in your own line of business? The great men of the land? Those without whom nothing can be accomplished? Those in high places?
And all with one foot in the grave, I dare say.
Oh, no. Strong men. Rich men. Influential men. Lords, dukes, and baronets. I'm sure you don't want to finish your days in Caen like me. You should fish in another pond.
I think you must be the very devil himself.
Oh, no, merely a minor imp who is trying to get out of his particular hellhole. Now, what I propose is this. Let a subscription be set up in my favor among my old friends and my associates. You will propose this to them. You will also act as executor and collector. I can see you now, my dear Armstrong, traveling from manor to manor, from castle to castle, drinking tea with the cream of the English nobility. Men famous throughout the world for their generosity and hospitality. What could be more delightful? And what could be more useful to a rising star such as yourself? What valuable connections you will make. What lifelong friendships. Here's a list. With addresses. Nothing but the best placed people. But a fine time you will have. Meeting them all. Oh, how I envy you.
How much do you suggest I ask for?
Don't put a limit on it. It should only be limited by the whim and the generosity of the givers. In practice, if I am any judge, each will give what the other gives. So begin with the most open-handed first. Lord Granville, for example. Should be good for a tidy sum.
You think that this Lord Granville will receive me well?
Oh, with open arms. Lord Moira, too, and Lord Sefton. Go now, young man. Your ship and your destiny await you.
Well, why not? Business in Caen is slack at this time of year.
Is it a deal?
It is. Please, sign this paper.
You had foreseen my plan?
I keep a selection of draft contracts about me. It is in the nature of my business. Sign here.
I thought you were a spice merchant.
All business is much the same. And here, please.
These blanks.
I'll fill them in later.
And this paragraph?
It names me as your administrator. A mere formality. The donors may have some misgivings about giving you the money directly.
But I'll get my hands on the money eventually.
As soon as certain technicalities are observed. Once again, mere formality. Initial here, please. And here. Another signature here with the date. Thank you. Perfect.
I'm delighted we've come to a fruitful arrangement, Mr. Armstrong. I hope to find some way of repaying...
We'll think of something, I'm sure. Good day to you, Mr. Brummel.
Justin! Yeah. Quickly, man!
Yes,
we must call Ravissante. Tell her I shall be out of this place soon. Oh, Justin... Justin, I'm going to be rich!
Are you still in touch with Mademoiselle Saint-Lossard?
Are you still here?
You should be on the boat by now. Quickly, get a move on. Get me out of this place.
Come along, Justin. Quickly, man. Put all these boxes down. I'll clear a space.
Oh, sir, the money you spent. The folly of it all.
These are for Ravisson. She has to have fine clothes, doesn't she? Cheer up, Justin. Our life is going to change.
Who's
going to
pay for it all, sir?
Armstrong, of course. At least I hope he will. Oh, you get on my nerves, Justin, with your penny-pinching ways. Quick, let's unwrap them. I can't wait to see them.
It's enough for a regiment of soldiers.
Oh, look at this. Isn't it beautiful? And this. Oh, and this. Look. Oh, a poem. A hymn to the ingenuity of man. Wait. Oh, this dress here. Hold it up against you. Oh, splendid. Splendid. The only thing which still moves me, Justin. A fine garment with frills and flounces, so. Yes, yes, there is truth stitched into every seam. Now, let's see some more. Let's have them all out. Let's have a firework display of dresses. We see them, feel them, fling them about. Clothes make us monarchs, gods, lovers, lovers. Yes, marry me, Ravisson. You deserve none but me. We shall be the most beautiful couple in the world, in the universe. Dance with me. Oh, it's the grand ball.
What are you doing, Mr. Bramble?
Oh.
Ravisson. You're mocking me.
Oh, no, no.
What is all this?
Dresses, dresses, and more dresses.
For me?
Of course.
Oh, why?
To wear at receptions, to wear at grand balls. My little butterfly must prepare to spread her wings.
Oh, so that's what they are, my wings. Are they paid for?
Well, of course they're paid for. What do you take me for? Armstrong has paid for them. That's what he's for.
Nothing has changed, then.
Will you wed me, Ravisson?
You're cheating, Mr. Brummel. That's not a fair question.
Oh, marry me.
Very well, then. Name the day, the place. Is the wedding here, in this room, or at the Basilique Saint-Jean? Who's to give me away? Armstrong. Madness. Dreams. You're buying where you have no credit. Where another man pays your bills. Where I own gowns I can't wear.
Oh, Ravisson.
Ravisson. Can't you do anything but bleat out that ridiculous nickname? I'm called Aimable. I'd be grateful if you used my proper name. I'd be grateful if you'd keep some sort of hold on reality.
Impossible. Reality is an illusion. It's only what we invent that counts.
Stop treating me as if I were a stupid doll, only capable of wearing clothes paid for by Armstrong.
Why do you keep talking about Armstrong?
He must be spoken of. You can't be Brummel without his help.
Oh, she's being difficult. Very difficult indeed. Oh, if only Armstrong would return.
Good evening.
You have the money?
You deceive me, Brummel.
How?
You send me to visit the living dead. Desiccated skeletons in damp castles.
Didn't they give you anything?
They were most generous.
Well, that's a relief. Then what are you complaining about?
Their manner. It was beyond belief. Not one of them asked me if I was well, or what I thought, or did, or felt. I received no invitations to dinner. On the contrary, at one noble house they thought I was a beggar and set the dogs on me. I'm sure none of them was ever young. Not as I understand the word. They hated me, of course. Hated me for my youth, my vitality.
Oh, what are you prattling about, Armstrong? Come, come down from the clouds.
It was a wasted journey.
For you, perhaps, but if they gave you the money...
The money, yes. There is a list of the pickings. I've done my sums. 800 francs a month are due to you.
I don't understand.
800 a month. That's to be your allowance.
You're only giving me 800 francs a month? But you have gathered hundreds of thousands.
Indeed I have. But it is necessary to take into account your debts and my expenses.
800 francs a month? But I need at least 6,000 simply to...
800. That's your allocation.
He's trying to be funny, Justin.
Ah, yes. Your valet, Justin. I'm glad you mentioned him. Do you intend to keep him on in your service?
My Justin, of course.
You will have to draw in your horns a little, you know.
Sir, I assure you that I cost Mr. Brummel practically nothing.
One has to be realistic.
My dear Armstrong, I've been very happy to know you. You have performed your mission admirably. Bravo. If I am feeling generous, I shall repay you one of these days with a small commission.
A small commission? After I've organized everything? After I've traveled far and wide?
A postman collects the mail, Armstrong. They are not allowed to keep any of it now. I want that money, and I want it now.
Don't speak to me like that, if you please, Mr. Brummel. I'm not your servant.
Nor are yours. The money, please, and all your accounts.
There is something you must understand, Mr. Brummel. Your donors, generous as they were, are well aware of your failings. They only gave me money on the understanding that I should administrate
it. I'm not a child. I need no administrator. You're fired. Armstrong, you are no longer in my service.
You're going to be difficult? Very well. Then I have no choice but make it 500 francs a month.
No. Listen, Armstrong, there must be some mistakes, some misunderstanding.
What misunderstanding? You signed a contract.
I shall annul it.
Only a court of law can do that.
Then I shall go to law.
How will you pay?
It's not possible that I could have been so foolish as to trust you.
You were lucky it was I, Brummel. Most people would have taken the lot. Now, to business. Some economies must be made at once. You must leave this place and move to a room in the Auberge des Victoires. It's a clean, respectable place. For 5 francs a day, you get a bed and good, plain food. Soup, main course, dessert, and a cup of coffee.
I usually have 2 coffees after a meal.
One is the arrangement. I shall visit you there each month and hand over your 500 francs.
Look, make it 800 and perhaps...
800 is no longer acceptable.
Please, 700 at the very least.
500 francs per month, Mr. Brummel.
Go back to your ginger and cinnamon, you wretched little grocer. Pile up your money bags. You're nothing but a wheelbarrow, do you hear? With your stick-out arms and stumpy little legs. A nasty little wheelbarrow.
Sir.
Well, Justin, why are you looking at me like that? I wished this on myself, you think? Oh, yes. Likely that I would wish to strangle, to punish myself like this. But I shall be revenged. On that little wheelbarrow, I will show him that I remain Brummel. And immortal. Go at once to the Marquise de Fromerville. She's giving a dinner. She shall invite me. I still have friends, Justin. Thank God, I still have good friends.
Master, you shouldn't have drunk so much, nor eaten so much.
Did you see how they rose to applaud me when I entered? They were saluting my resurrection.
You insulted them, sir. You threw half your meat to the dogs.
It was bad.
The citizens of Cannes are wonderfully unpretentious and very patient. But there comes a time when they don't want to hear your home truths anymore.
Why not? It's nothing personal. I tell them their meat is bad so that it will be better the next time I come.
I fear that tonight is going to be a disaster, sir. Mademoiselle Saint Hussein has arrived, you know, with Mr. Armstrong.
My ravissante. What's she doing with that obnoxious little wheelbarrow? Oh. I shall have words with her.
Please don't do anything rash.
I forbid you to meddle in matters which do not concern you, Justin.
I warn you, sir.
Now make yourself useful. Go to the kitchens to find that pâté de foie gras I brought as a gift. Oh. It's probably the only edible thing in the house.
I can't do that, sir.
What do you mean you can't do it? I order you to do it. With the money I ought to be paying you, I have the right to give you orders. Yes or no?
Very well, sir. But be discreet, all the same.
Oh, discreet, discreet. The French have 1,000 words for discretion, and act on none of them.
Oh, peek-a-boo! Have I found you again, my darling?
Oh, no, not you.
Of course, where there is polite society, one finds Mrs. Daly. Come, why don't you laugh, Mr. Brummel?
I don't wish to encourage you, madam.
Oh, what a bore we're to have company.
Oh, thank God. Who is it?
Mr. Armstrong with your ravissante.
I don't want to see them.
Then quick, behind this screen.
What? What?
Where is he? He's vanished.
All the better.
No, he has to know how you feel about him. Haven't you told me yourself that he disgusts you?
Oh, well, yes, of course. But...
Then you must make the matter public. You must tell him so to his face.
I must. I know I must.
He's making a mess of your life. He's holding you back.
Yes, yes, I know that now.
You'll tell him that you find him old, repulsive.
Yes, I'll tell him.
Unsavory.
That too.
And what else will you say?
Get out of my life! You make me ill. Don't speak to me again. Don't drool over me anymore. I don't want to see that face of yours again. Don't you see it's just a mask? You scare me, Mr. Brummel. Your attitude paralyzes me. Your attitude nauseates me. And your senility sickens me.
Bravo!
Don't touch me. Don't come near me.
Excellent. Let's go and find him. Come.
No, no need. I am here.
Mr. Brummel. Oh, how dreadful. Did you hear what I said?
Every word.
It wasn't my idea. He told me to say it.
In the little wheelbarrow? Can't you find anything better than him?
I forbid you.
My poor Ravissant.
Let's go, my dear. You've said all you had to say.
Wait. You called my face a mask. It's true, it is. Look on it. Well, it is the mask you will all be called upon to wear in your turn. Yes, even you, my divine Ravissant, will grow old. And you will hope that those you love have the wit to see behind that mask at the self which is constant, unchanging, but you will hope in vain. It is the mask which stays their gaze.
Brummel, that's enough.
All of you, look on it well. It will be yours, this mask.
Come, Mr. Brummel, there's no need for all this.
Oh, you too will splutter when you speak. Your skin will flake. You too will suppurate. You too will assume the colour of some ancient cheese. Be warned.
He's raving. Come, mademoiselle.
I didn't want this to happen, Mr. Brummel. I swear it.
Ravissant. Time is short enough. I wanted to give you wings.
Leave her alone. I have taken enough from you, Brummel.
Oh, indeed, you have. Not content with taking my money, you have taken my love. Thief. Give me back what you have stolen. Give it all back. Thief. Thief. I shan't let myself be fleeced by such a non-entity.
You forget that this non-entity holds your purse strings. Very well. Since you cannot learn to behave, I am forced to tighten them a little more. In future, I shall give you 300 a month instead of 5. How do you like that, Mr. Brummel? No more new clothes. No more scent. No more brilliantine. No more patent blacking for your boots. No more laundry. How do you like that?
I need laundry. Country bleached for my white cravat.
Wear a black one.
Will nothing satisfy you but my death?
Come, come, Mr. Brummel. You will bury us all.
Hamza, I'm sorry I've been so long. I looked everywhere in the kitchen for your foie gras. They seem to have lost it. On the other end, they give me this in exchange.
What's this? Duck's wings?
I believe so, sir, yes.
And this stuff they're swimming in?
Looks like English gravy, sir.
Gravy? Oh, Justin, Justin, is all the world against me. Justin, the soup, the potage.
Coming, sir. My master is feeling happy today.
Why do you say that? Because I'm whistling. The mosquito whistles. Is he happy?
There's your soup, sir. Straight from the pot. Now, taste it, sir. Tell me if you like it.
I will. Pass me a spoon.
Oh, sir.
Oh. Idiot! Oh,
but, sir...
You made me drop it. Pick it up.
Very well, sir.
You're getting very clumsy these days, Justin.
I'm sorry, sir.
What is it? Oh! What? Oh!
Sir.
What's happening? Spilling everywhere. Justin, I put my spoon in my mouth.
It's nothing, sir. It's because your hand is trembling. Look, try again.
My face. Quickly. A mirror.
Yes, sir.
Quickly, man.
Here you are, sir.
Oh, look. In my mouth.
It's nothing, sir. I'm sure. It's just rheumatism. I'll go and get a doctor.
No, better. My cheek, here.
Look, after I've called the doctor...
Oh, no, Justin, no.
Right, sir.
What if I didn't have enough
problems. Now my mouth looks as if it wants to chew my ear off.
It'll pass, sir. I'm sure it will.
What sort of social life can I expect with a lopsided grin forever fixed to my face? It will attract quite the wrong sort of people.
Better. Is that better? Here. Now let's get you up on your feet, eh? Here we go.
No!
What is it now, sir?
My leg!
Which one, sir?
The right! My favourite! Justin, who the houses of Caen are tumbling down on me now. They're burying me stone by stone.
Oh, master, master!
Help is at hand. They've brought up the cannon.
No, it's nothing. Just calm yourself.
You're calm. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. What was I saying?
It's of no importance. Look, I'll get you undressed, and I'll go and find a doctor. Sit you down here, sir. That's it. And take off your boots. There we are.
Oh, can it be?
Yes.
After all, that my beauty is not eternal.
Don't bother yourself with such questions, sir. It'd be much easier if you just sat still while I go for the sawbones. Now put this cushion against your back. There.
Come back quickly, Justin. You're all I have left.
Yes, sir, I
will. And Justin?
Sir?
I'm sorry about the spoon. It was my fault I let it fall.
Spoon, sir? Has this happened before?
This is his third attack.
Does he realise how serious it is?
No, God be praised. He thinks it's rheumatism.
Well, at least we have arrived in time, the Count and I.
In time? In time for what? The final curtain? Is that what you mean? A man's life is not a play, you know.
Nothing. Rheumatism, that's all.
Of course. No one believes otherwise. Do they, Count?
Oh, no. I must apply the leeches now, sir.
Oh, but I hate leeches. They remind me of all my old friends. Take them away.
No. Doctor's orders, sir. I promise you won't feel them at all. Yeah, kind, gentle creatures. Oh, they love your nice, soft skin.
Don't let them drink too deeply, sir. Justin. Remember, it's at my expense.
One glass only, sir, just to make them merry. Then I shall take them off my master's pretty neck, I promise. What a neck. So youthful still.
Yes, what do you mean, still?
My eyes are opened, Mrs. Daly. There's nothing special about this man, nothing special at all. He wouldn't be in this pickle.
Is that what you think?
Well, look at him.
I must admit, a shaven head does little for his looks.
No, Justin, they are insatiable.
Very well, sir. I'll take them off now. Sit and put them back with their brothers and sisters. That's it. And now, sir, it's time for your exercise.
Oh, cheer up, Mr. Brummel. Things are never as bad as they seem. Oh, I forgot. I brought a woolly for you to wear in bed. I mean to look after you when all this is over. Make sure you do your number twos. Oh, what fun it will be.
Be quiet, please, madam. If all you can do is torment him, clear off.
Oh, let her alone, Justin. She's enjoying herself.
I thought you would like to hear all the news of Caen.
Now,
see if we can get
some gossip in town. Very fond of gossip.
One or two amusing tales.
Oh, wonderful. I'm all ears.
That's a waste. No general torment.
One step at a time.
He's in trouble with the collector of taxes.
He's been chasing him.
No, cuckold him.
Come get up. Lift me.
Carter. Crawl to the chair, sir.
Did you go to the gala? Did you go to the
Pope? Oh, no, I haven't got the Pope. Over the table. Wanting help for something or other.
No, that's lift yourself little by little.
Well, it's like this, that people are born with a set age, which they keep all their lives. I, for example, am 28 or 31 at most.
I take pains to dress correctly.
Oh, God!
Love me more, love me more.
It's simply a matter of discipline, you know.
Oh, what shall become of me, Justice?
First, I choose a waistcoat. It can take hours.
The count to help.
Next, the cravat.
The count
is there's an art in tying it, you know. And then...
Excuse me, sir.
Yes, yes.
My master wants to ask you if you can help him.
No, Brummel. You're not going to cadge money from me.
Nor from me. You should never borrow from a friend, you know.
You must ask Armstrong.
Very well, then. If you see Mr. Armstrong, tell him I have nothing and that I am alone.
We've stayed long enough. We don't want to tire you. Are you coming, Carmen?
No, wait! Look, I have in my possession letters from the royal family, from Byron and many others. I could sell them. There's my silverware, too. That should fetch, about 40,000, or even 60,000. But let's say 30,000, shall we? And this gold watch and chain. If you have any friends...
Oh, enough, Brummel, do you hear? I know what you really think of me. That I'm a nobody. A mere reflection of yourself. One of your creations. It's not true. It's not true.
Henry, let's go.
But you have ruined me all the same. You have put into my head things I should never have known. You have made me dream of a world which can never be mine. Couldn't you see from the start that I wasn't capable of becoming what I wish to be? Villain. Oh, you have wasted my life.
Oh, the plate!
Stop it!
Stop it!
Both of you! Aren't you ashamed?
Oh, pity me.
I shall pity you when you are dead. Then I can start to live again. Brummel. Oh, pardon me. I didn't know what I was saying. Please believe me. I suffer so in my quest for perfection. And I know that you suffer at least as much. Show me the path I must tread. He's completely out of his mind. We just found him in a ditch, lying in the mud. He begs cups of coffee in an eating house by the jetty, a place frequented by the very worst sort of people. Isn't the cup the inn provides enough for him? He sat for 2 hours yesterday outside the patisserie, looking glum. Eventually someone took pity on him and bought him a gatto. Have you ever heard anything like it? Well, he will behave himself in future. I'll see to that.
You will not rest until you have killed him.
Nonsense.
I've always said he'll see us all in our graves.
You have no right to dispose of the lives of others.
I assume that right. In the name of morality.
You're not a priest. It's not up to you to make moral judgments.
Who do you think you are? God?
It's for his own good.
He has made your fortune.
I didn't ask for your opinion, Mrs. Daly.
She's my companion, Mr. Armstrong. And may speak if she chooses.
Thanks to his capital, you've vastly increased your turnover, you've grown fat, and you've got married.
He has ruined my life, I say. The time he wastes. Half my life, it seems, is spent in dealing with his affairs. Besides all that, he has destroyed my wife's affection for me.
Without Brummel, you would never have known her.
I've worked hard to get where I am. I have worked hard since I was 6. I'm still a hard worker, I shall...
You...
You're just a wheelbarrow.
What?
That's what Brummel calls you. The little wheelbarrow.
It's true. He does look like a wheelbarrow.
Where are you going, wife?
To Brummel. I have made a decision. I'm going to take care of him. I shall go and bring him to my house.
But your house is my house.
I'll look after him. I'll devote my life to him. Even if the whole world is against me, I know it's what I have to do.
I wish to see Mr. Brummel.
Ah, monsieur. What a moment to choose. Mr. Brummel has decided to receive this evening all the English court.
What?
Yes, here. He's given a reception for all his old friends from Carlton House, Brighton and Buckinghamshire.
What friends?
Well, I've tried to put him off, but he won't hear of it. Besides, I mean, look who he's invited.
Their Royal Highnesses, the Duke and Duchess of York. The Mark. But, Justin, all these people are dead.
Oh, I believe so, sir, though I never had the honour of knowing them.
Brummel, enough of this charade. I want to see you. come out of there.
I can't see anyone. Not this evening. I'm busy. Another day, perhaps. Justin, tell me when the first carriage arrives. I must put the final touches to
my... Stop all this.
Who are you?
Cease this play-acting, do you hear? It's gone on long enough.
On the contrary, it has still to begin.
I demand that you stop...
Demand? We do not speak the same language, my good man. Justin?
Sir. Wait.
Well, what is it now?
Wait. Here's 4,000 francs for you.
Keep your money.
It's yours.
Keep it all the same. I've been told often enough that I haven't a penny. Let it be so.
Take it. I order you...
You no longer have the right to order anything. You wish to bring me down, and you have failed. This evening I receive the English court. There's nothing more to be said. Poor Armstrong, you understand nothing. You have no sense of grandeur, nor of beauty. You see life in terms of earning a regular crust. But I shall prove to you that even without a sou one can still be the richest, most celebrated man in the world.
Brummel, I believe...
You believed I was finished. I'm sorry to disappoint you, sir.
Look, we've had a little misunderstanding, but there's
He's a difficult man to get rid of, Justin.
Brummel, listen to me.
They're arriving. I think they're beginning to arrive.
But this is all an aberration. No one is arriving.
Justin...
No one will arrive.
Justin, escort Monsieur into another room. It would be awful if he were to run into Her Grace the Duchess of Brunswick in this state.
Brummel! Brummel, make peace with me, I beg you. Forgive me, Brummel.
Oh, push yourself off, wheelbarrow. Fling the doors wide, Justin.
I think, sir, that it would be better to let things take their course, really.
Now begins the most sublime night of my life. Quick, quick, go to the door, Justin.
Yes, sir.
And announce the visitors.
Her Grace, the Duchess of Rutland.
Ah, my dear Duchess, how kind of you. How kind of you to come here to my humble retreat in this quaint old town. It is called Caen. Yes, you've never heard of it. Oh, it's quite charming, I assure you.
Lord Alvanley.
Billy. Oh, Billy, Billy, you came too all this way. From a debtor's prison, you say? Not a penny in the world. Oh, you were always the most unlucky gambler.
Her Grace, the Duchess of Devonshire. The Lady Jersey.
What happiness. What joy.
My Lord Byron.
Poet of poets. Welcome. My own verses are not so bad, you know. Now, I shall read you my latest offering. It will please you. The Butterfly's Funeral.
Lord Lennox. My Lady Westmoreland. Lord Castlereagh. The Lord Melville, Lady Bulwer-Lytton, Lord Worcester, Sir Ralph Neville.
Oh, ye who so lately were blithesome and gay at the Butterfly's banquet carousing
the
away.
The Duke and Duchess
your feast,
of York.
Your Royal Highnesses. In my house. Oh, they have come. Oh, they have done me this honor. Then Brummel is Brummel once more. He has returned to his proper place. In the bosom of the most elegant, the most noble. Uncork the champagne!
Lady Cunningham, my Lord Yarmouth, Captain Glenarl, Miss Harriet Wilson.
She dared to come, the little minx.
Her Grace, the Duchess of Devonshire.
Still they arrive, God be praised. Georgiana, your eyes burn with such fire you could light a candle in their flame. My friends, enjoy yourselves. Enjoy yourselves. Let the champagne flow. Sample our excellent cuisine, the finest in France.
His Royal and Imperial Highness, the Prince of Wales.
The Prince. My Prince has deigned to come. He pardons me then. Oh, for your Majesty. Of course I remember. How is that beautiful marine pavilion of yours?
Master.
No, I'm not dying yet.
Sir.
Get away. I am talking with my prince. Alone with my prince. Sire, I wish to be your favorite once more. You were the only one I ever loved. The only one I ever envied. But you chased me from your table. What are you looking for, Brummel? You asked. Sire, my place, I replied. You've never known that, you said. What a cruel wit you had. I called for my carriage and went home. Not every man can claim to have harbored regicide in his heart. I can. But then, I was always unusual. A cut above the common herd. I had style. I had distinction. While you, in spite of the blood royal, were never really anything more than a big fat pig. So what are you doing here, you degenerate? Be off with you. I don't want to see you anymore. I kick you out of my reception. Come, my friends. Do as I do. Chase him out. Exorcise him. Boot him in his fat royal ass. Now it's more like the old days. We had fun then. Good fun, didn't we, Jimmy? First round the room without touching the floor. Leap from table to chair, from chair to cabinet. There goes a clock. Oh, never mind. Time has no meaning here. Then to the opera, to hoot at the singers, swing like young jackanapes from box to box. At the restaurant, Harry shoots the waiter. Put him on the bill, he says. Now we're all together again. What shall we do now? Think of something. Somebody? Yeah. Where are you all going? Don't go. Oh, don't go without me. I'm lonely. Justin, where are you?
Here, Master.
They're all leaving, you see. They've always walked out on me. You swine! Slink off back to your castles, then. How could you ever hope to measure up to me? I spit on you!
Brummel, stop this, do you hear?
Doesn't understand what you're saying.
I've servants outside. Oh, this man must be restrained.
Monsieur, please.
He can't stay here. The asylum's the place for him.
What?
It's for his own good. Raoul! Monsieur. Joseph! Monsieur. Take this man away.
So lately were blithesome and gay at the butterfly's banquet carousing away. Your feasts and your revels of pleasure are fled. For the soul of your banquet, the butterflies. No, no, no. No, not dead. There's a stanza or two left in me yet. Who's that? Oh, no! My Ravissante, not now, not like this. I'm without it. No way. Oh, where's that accursed wig got to?
Forgive me, but I had to come.
Go!
Please, madam, visitors are not allowed.
Just for a moment, sister, I beg you. Oh, my God, how he's changed.
Oh, here we go. The old tune.
Let me stay, I beseech you. Just a little.
You are disturbing his siesta.
I am not taking a siesta, woman. I've never taken a siesta in my life. I am an Englishman.
Oh, he is quite insufferable.
Would you rather I went?
Of course not.
I simply wanted you to know. It's not my fault, any of this. Nobody told me about it.
Oh, don't speak of it. I'm sure there are more important things to discuss.
I'm moving heaven and earth to get you out of here. You believe me, don't you? You mustn't be allowed
to die here. Oh, don't be afraid to mention the word. Eternity is the least of my problems.
I'll find you somewhere else. I'll find a place where I may visit you as often as I can. Armstrong will let me, I'm sure. He's very remorseful, you know.
Armstrong, who is that? Come here to me, Ravissante.
I can't stay now.
Oh, come here to bed.
Why can't you ever take no for an answer?
Because you have never said it convincingly enough.
I have never said yes.
No, not yet. Very well, then, go.
You are well enough to use blackmail, I see.
Oh, is that what it is?
Something very like it.
Come, then.
They're so busy with death in this place. Let us make an assertion of life.
Oh, Brahma. Brahma.
Do you pity me now? I don't repel you too much. It's a difficult matter having an adolescent soul in the body of a man of 40. Well, 42. Yes, laugh. Laugh, laugh, please laugh. I'm like a hen for the slaughter. My head is struck off, but my body is still as busy as ever. Get in! Oh, don't make a fuss. There isn't time.
It's simply that. Oh, well, just for a moment. What folly.
Folly, yes. So much the better. Yes, you've too much on.
You always wanted me to wear fine clothes.
I swear this to you, Revisant. I never loved you as age loves you, but as an equal spirit.
That's not true.
Oh, it is, it is. And if I had one tiny grain of sense, I would have married you.
That's not true either.
If only I had understood a little more. I have always needed simply to understand a little more. But this is no time to regret the past. We are entering a tunnel, my Revisant. And when we emerge, we will find ourselves under a blue, sparkling sky. And we shall shout aloud, thanks be to God, who has given us the opportunity to feel as we do.
You make me quite giddy.
All my life I have sought out beauty. And now I see what beauty truly is. The greatest beauty I can imagine...
Is what, Brahma?
Is... would have been...
What?
To have had breakfast with you every morning for the whole of my life.
That is as impossible as all the other beauties put together.
Oh, not entirely. I shall make it come true for one morning at least.
What are you doing?
Placing my order.
Here? In this tomb?
Why not? Let's have some service here.
Brummel, it's too much.
Nothing is too much.
What is it now, Mr. Brummel? Oh!
Sister Mary of the Annunciation, we would like two breakfasts, please. With all the trimmings. And make sure the coffee is good and hot.
Brahmo, it is time.
No.
Brahmo, don't be stubborn. It's no use.
What are you, a priest? I see you brought your paraphernalia with you. You know, I'd always imagined I would be the first man to be spared of this crass business of dying.
It is the eternal law ordained by God.
Ah, God. I'd sooner not speak of that, gentlemen.
He has promised eternity.
The only eternity I ever wanted. He has refused me, and is the eternity of my body and of my flesh. I have always found my soul could look after itself.
Miserable man. Without the bulwark of the Holy Church, without a decent fear of the infinity before you, how can you hope for salvation?
God created me a debtor. Hope is my way of life.
Brummel, if you continue in this vein, I cannot do my job.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but think of my function, too. It is to be true to my own nature, such as it is, and not to be deflected into a sorry repentance. For then I should cease to be Brummel. I am proud to be Brummel. I am an example to many. I have no wish to spend eternity as someone else.
At this moment, you are simply a man who is going to die.
What do you want me to do?
Pray.
I do try.
Love God.
I have never bestowed my love freely, except upon myself.
You are truly lost, my friend. Have you no creed, no belief at all?
I believe in souffle au calvados, entouré du neige de pomme, in pâté de gibier, pain de caneton.
The Mary of the Annunciation, come here.
Ballotine de faisan.
Hear what he's doing now.
Please, Mr. Brummel.
Cochon du lait au macassin.
Don't you understand, Brummel? You are lost. That I can do nothing for you.
I believe in omelette norvégienne.
He's transfigured.
Wiener schnitzel.
The years are slipping away from him.
The rat de veau à la moutarde.
It's a miracle.
Oh, how
fricassé de dents d'anneau. Oh, come now. I was never exactly...
like the Apollo Belvedere.
Such elegance.
Beauty. Elegant. Fiddle-hiddy.
He is dead.
Alas, he had no sense of the hereafter.
Is that what you really think?
Ladies and gentlemen, the Honourable Ex-Consul of Great Britain, Incon, is dead. Pray for his soul.
At last! Don't weep, my dear. What was he, after all? A pitiful clothes horse, a wearer of cravats, a man with a gift for tying knots, no more, no less.
Swine!
Swine! Swine!
It's all your fault. You killed him.
Murderer.
Assassin.
But why did he never make the least effort to behave like everyone else? Why didn't he accept the laws that weigh on all the rest of us? I couldn't do anything but ruin him. But I loved him too.
Pig.
That's what preys on my mind. That's what exasperates me. I couldn't do otherwise.
I hate you.
I simply could not do otherwise.
There. Look. While they carry the Honorable Ex-Consul to his last resting place, his final lodging, let me share the secret with you. He, that thing there, is not I, or not Brummel. No, it's all a trick. It's a long time since I quit that ancient husk. I would not be seen dead in a body that was less than perfect. How could I... I am Brummel. I exist for your benefit, to please you, and to set you an example, on earth as it is in heaven. I set my style on an age, and the age set its style on the future. You seekers after truth, what further proof do you need of the immortality of man?
Trevor Peacock was Beau Brummel. Justin was played by Donald G. Armstrong by Peter Linford, and La Ravissante by Madeline Smith. Auriel Smith was Mrs. Daly. Stephen Garlick was the Comte de Chazeau. Stuart Harrison, the priest, and Sue Broomfield, the nun. Other parts were played by members of the company. Brummel Abroad was translated and adapted by David Buck from a stage play by Bernard de Costa. It was produced in Manchester and directed by Michael Fox. A drama on Radio 4 tomorrow afternoon brings us one of the winning plays in the 1989 Giles Cooper Awards, written by Elizabeth Baines. The Baby Buggy tells how a pushchair becomes a symbol of the hopes and fears of a woman about to have her first baby at the age of 40. The Baby Buggy, tomorrow afternoon at 2:30.